Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Natalie, you know, also known as StarsCast, and what a topic we have tonight. It's a two-parter, and I know everybody will resonate with this. We're going to discuss holes in our souls, you know, when you're hurt or wounded or something happens and you don't know how to repair or recover. I know I've had lots of them. Right, Maya? Anyways, but I have the lovely Maya Moon here, I should say. She's more expert on this than me. I can relate to what goes on because a lot has happened to me in my life. But it affects everybody, don't you think, Maya?
Yes, yes.
I mean, everybody has had where, you know, they fell for somebody or they were in a relationship and it just did something. It wounded them somehow. And sometimes it takes a very, very long time. It's not like, well, just get out and get back on the horse again. You know, you have to have time to recover when somebody does something to you. It can be a physical thing. It can be a mental. It can be spiritual, emotional. It can be all those areas in one. And I think I've been hit with probably every one of them, more so on the spiritual, emotional side than anything else. But, and sometimes, you know, I think, Maya, too, we don't really know that something happened and it's left its, what it did inside of us, because you don't get to see that. You really don't know. And it isn't until maybe you get 10 years down the road and something triggers something, and then you get that feeling again, and then you really know. I am blessed because I have Maya Moon to help me throughout anything. And, you know, it's a process like she describes it. Maybe you'll tell everybody about this, about the pyramid where you have to start to build it back up because all the pieces are falling down. Isn't that what you told me about the me, actually, yes, a long time ago?
Yes, yes.
Yes. So, you know, it can be like that, and you have to repair, you know, one block at a time, and it can be a long process, and you're probably sitting there thinking, oh, my God, how long is this going to take? But I don't think that there is an easy way, but I'm sure there are methods that we can use, and I know Maya is going to explain them and give us some insight and guidance as to what steps you need to take. And maybe sometimes, you know, it's like if you were in a relationship and time has gone by, like maybe 6 months, maybe you just need to get out there again and put yourself out there, be with your friends, your girlfriends. Some women have great guy friends. They don't have to be your boyfriend. You go out there and you start talking to people, and pretty soon you start to feel better about yourself. But I wonder, Maya, do those wounds ever heal, really? So now I'm going to let you start to talk about this. And
well, that's where it comes in. So if you look at we talked about the pyramid, and then my guides always teach about the trine or the trinity. And when they talk about that, then the highest part and the most important, you might say, that which leads everything would be our spiritual being. And then from there we have our emotional, we have our cognitive, our thinking, and our physical. But when we define in this context, let's start out by defining holes in the soul and what, I mean, you did it. You actually did a good job the way that you.
Oh, well, thank you. I just went on my experience.
Right, right. And you're right. And how it usually happens, on occasion, we can return, we can reincarnate, and our soul can be a little bit damaged. So it's like, I'm going to use a few analogies. So one way, that's the least common, however, that happens, but it's the least common, is it's like buying a used car that's got a few little things wrong with it that need to be fixed. The most common way is what happens is as we go through life, and because we're all different, we perceive and we absorb and we respond to circumstances and our environment and things like you said, like relationships, even jobs, career changes, having children. I mean, just moving for some people that maybe their husband or their wife or whatever was transferred out of the area. So there can be, there's no real, you can't really put it into a list. Anything can cause trauma. And so when what originally happens is we can get trauma to, you know, our physical body. We can get sick, like you mentioned, you were ill earlier.
Right.
So we have that. And then we have, for most of us, we have emotional damage. We have emotional pain, emotional wounds, emotional scars. And then if we don't deal with that, and what you said was absolutely correct, what can happen is, I heard music.
That was my cell phone that went off.
Somebody
tried to call
okay.
me. I don't know who it is.
Okay.
No worries. I turned it down.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't ghostly apparitions joining the show.
Oh, yeah.
Evening.
Well, you know me. It can be anything at any moment in time.
Yeah, it could be. So that what can happen is, depending on the trauma and the stage we're in our life and how empowered and how strong we are as far as our identity and our core self, if that emotional trauma is not dealt with correctly and is not fixed or repaired, or we don't fully rebound or we don't gain back, I mean, there's a few things that I'm not talking about forgetting that, you know, something extreme happened. We're never going to forget. We're always going to have a recall on that. We're always going to have some memory of it. We're always going to feel something. But for the most part, we've learned to, you know, overcome and compensate. Well, what happens if that's not dealt with correctly is it leaks into our soul. And that's how we form these holes. And so another way you could look at it is you could look at a canvas that's a tarp. Let's say you have a tarp that's outside covering things. And, you know, the first couple years, the tarp's in great shape, and you check on it. After a while, you start to notice, you know, little tiny tears, and it starts to get tattered from the wind. If you don't make those repairs as they come, then we all know a rip in a shirt or a rip in clothing or in bedding, we either discard it, which we can't do that with our soul, or we have to make repairs on it. So for people that are suffering from extreme, you know, trauma, they have holes in the soul. Like I guess probably the best example, and it's a very underdiagnosed disorder, would be PTSD. That is something where people went through, you know, especially veterans, and, you know, I really give credit and send prayers to those that fought for our country. But they have to go against, the conflict is against everything that is what their moral being stands for, at least the majority of them. So they're very different, let's say, than someone that is a criminal and someone that, you know, as I would say is a monster, either evil, you know, truly evil, or has some type of severe psychiatric illness, who goes out seeking with pleasure to murder people. People who go to war, that's not what it's about for them, but I mean, if we stop and think about it, they're put in situations that are unavoidable, and they often don't even know. I mean, I know most of us have seen, you know, depictions of the war and, you know, the little kid that's carrying a hand grenade and things like that. So it's easy to see that. I think that maybe can resonate with the audience in terms of being able to see how something like that goes completely against our moral standing, and yet our intention, we're going to war, we're serving our country for our freedom, and if we didn't have people doing that, I mean, we would not be safe and secure. So that's really what happens, is it begins by some type of, you know, sometimes it can be a combination of physical and emotional, because a lot of physical injuries are also create an emotional, like if you've been in a car accident, if you've been in a house fire, if you've been in any of those types of situations, then you have undergone a lot, you know, great trauma in your life. There's been trauma associated with that. Even if you, you know, weren't seriously injured. So then we go, so it's one level deeper and one level more difficult. And what you said was really good, because it's true. And what happens is many people, even people that maybe seeks counseling or, you know, seek some type of help or support for their emotional being, don't realize that it's seeped through and it's crossed that barrier, if you will, and has gotten through into their soul, and it's made, and if you want to call them tears or holes in the soul, and that's even worse than the emotional damage, because that is the highest place of what we are. And if that is lacking, or that's not, you know, rebound, or it's not full, or it's not complete and whole, at least to a fairly large or significant degree, then we can become in trouble, because it will eventually, just like you said, it will affect every aspect of our life, and we will not be able to pursue our potential, our happiness, our path. So with that, I'll turn it over to you. So that's kind of,
well, I'm wondering about my situation, you know, as a threat of somebody wanting to harm you every day for a long period of time. It took me, well, I think we talked about this, you and I, when we've been on the phone. I think it took me almost, like, it'll be 5 years, and I think it's taken all of that. It was like a post-traumatic stress. You know, you're under attack, and you don't know when you're going to be attacked. I mean, it wasn't in the war or anything, but it can be just as meaningful because it was one-on-one. It wasn't like the you know, the enemy, you had to see where they are, and they're going to come at you without warning. I had warnings, or I had seconds, like a minute, and I'd look and I'd know right away. That, you know, that really probably still has an effect on me, because I can go back easily. I try not to, though. I mean, I really, you know, that's like for me, and I can describe it for me. You have to try not to go back to what you were faced with, and it was solid for, I bet you it was like that for about a year for me, but it got continually worse, and some of it I didn't realize, you know, there were little things, and you could call them tantrums, but it was the potential of it getting much worse was there, only there wasn't anything that could be done about it, so I had to just make sure that I was on alert. But I think that's kind of something similar, isn't it, Maya, what happened to me?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure I had holes in the soul. I'm sure of it.
Yes, I would say that I would say the majority of us have, you know, which we kind of said at the beginning, or at least that's what I understood you to say, you know, the majority of us have, you know, some things have slipped through, and we have very minor, you know, little holes or little cuts. But if we have rebounded or recovered from most of what has happened to us, most of the trauma in our life, or maybe we just haven't suffered that much, or maybe we're just, you know, we're all so unique and different that two people can go through the same type of trauma, but they process it differently. It doesn't mean one is better than the other. It could be that one person is more evolved. I mean, there's many reasons for that. But yes, I mean, that had to have had an effect just because, and even that, even if you got a warning, I don't really feel that that diminishes the trauma that
No, because you don't, and I'm sure the listeners have heard people talk about it. Maybe they haven't been faced with it, but sometimes I didn't get a warning. For an example would be, I would be sitting at my computer at night, and all of a sudden, he would be behind me, and he'd shove me as hard as he could into the keyboard. I had one of those, it sits on, you can push it in and the keyboard goes in, or you can pull it out. And then I would fall on the floor. That's how powerful it was. For me, and I don't know, I'm sure there are others out there, I never broke any bones. I had an awful lot of bruises, though, really bad ones. But for not breaking anything, I think I was spared. But I tell people I had help that you couldn't see. But that's a just different, unique situation for me, and everybody knows about Natalie. So, but I think even if you get a warning, you don't know if it's really going to happen or not. I mean, you're on alert. You're like, okay, well, let me see what happens here. Sometimes you cannot escape. But like an emotional thing, I can remember as a little girl, I liked this boy, and he liked me. He seemed to like me, you know. He would come over. We'd listen to music. We'd dance in the living room. There would be a bunch of us, or in the basement, because my dad had finished off the basement for my first Holy Communion. That's why he put the floor down. But all of a sudden, I went to school, like, after the weekend. It was Monday or Tuesday, and I saw him holding hands with somebody else. Well, you know, granted, I was only, like, in maybe eighth grade, so I was pretty young. But that did something to me. I can remember it well. That just hit me right in my face, like, I don't understand. I didn't have warning about it.
Right.
You know, of course, you stay with that, and there was nobody to talk to about it. I kept it to myself. And probably if I, even my little girlfriends, who we discussed about them, how they would pass my house and go across the street, but I didn't even tell them about it. But it really hurt me because it was without warning. I didn't have a warning. And, and then pretty soon, you know, they'd be talking, and my friends in school would be talking. I see so-and-so is with so-and-so now, holding her hands, and, oh, I would want to crawl behind the baseboard. So I'm sure that set off something for me for down the road as I got older. I was never really hurt like that again, but I think I pulled myself back. You know, I was always busy. You know, I did hair in a salon, so I was with people, but not with another boy or a man until I met my husband. And I think that stayed with me, what happened, and I think it just set the path for me because I never had anybody talk to. I was, how old are you in the eighth grade? What are you, 12? 13? That's like my granddaughter's age. She's 12. And I do think about that with her, and I can see her sometimes. My son will tell me she's in these moods and she doesn't want to talk to anybody. And I know what's wrong with her because that's how I was. It's not necessarily a good thing, but sometimes you keep everything inside. And, you know, I just didn't have anybody to talk to. I don't know that anybody could have done anything. Like if I would have had you, Maya, you would have said, oh, don't worry about it. There'll be another one. Just don't worry about it. Just hold your head up high. And I didn't see. Did I know my girlfriend Barb? No, I didn't know her yet. And she would have told me, walk in the room like you own it. Do it like you own it. That's what she would say to me all the time. She would have told me that. But you would have said, oh, that's nothing. that's just nothing. That's just puppy love. That's, you would have helped me. I know you would have. And I would have crossed it off my list as memories. Because look, I remembered it just like that. But
right.
It's really difficult sometimes when you're really young, you know. And even, it doesn't matter, even when there's people out there, and this can affect men too. I mean, they're not out of this by any stretch of the imagination. They can be hurt also. They carry it maybe better than we do, and maybe they do mope. I don't know, but you can bet they have feelings like that too. I want to think that they do. I hope that they do, because then what are they, right? Emotionless. But I think they do, and it's really tough. But it's almost like you have to just get back out there, and somehow, I can't even tell you what I did because I don't know, because my childhood and my life has been very, very different than anybody that I've ever talked to. So I don't know. Did it ever happen to you, Maya? Did you ever have a situation where you were really hurt and you probably tore something in your soul? You had a little tiny hole there? Or were you always tough?
Yeah. I mean, I've had some experiences where things happened to me. One was similar to what you said. And, you know, what I was going to say is, although we can call it puppy love, and, of course, I have a 20-year-old son, and he can be very sensitive, now not to the outside world, but he does have me to talk to. And I never downplayed, I always validated his feelings. I never said, I mean, talking with you versus talking with him might be different. My approach might be different.
Yeah, yeah.
But I made sure, I never said to him at the time that he was very hurt over a girl. And it was the first one. And, of course, in the back of my head, I was thinking, oh, my gosh, she's not even, you know, close to where, you know, what you are. But I understood that that's not, you know, that was not going to help him. So, yes, I do believe men, boys have feelings, but you know, we are a product, if you will, of what society deems is appropriate versus inappropriate. And so if you're at school, and I had a similar situation, now I don't think it was as traumatic for me at the time, it felt so, but it was one of those where we were in this like band thing, and it was this boyfriend, I don't even remember, I think I was like fourth or fifth grade, and by boyfriend, I don't mean like, you know, doing anything, that's just what we said, we were going out
yeah.
or whatever, and then it was, everything was fine, and we had just played for the school and the band, and like 2 days later, he just wrote me a note, and I think he said something like, I hate you, and, you know, I mean, there was nothing. There was no warning. There was nothing that I had done. And I remember my brother went to the same school, and he saw me just in passing, and he said, what's wrong? And I remember telling him, I remember the guy's name. It was Chris. And I said, excuse me, Chris wrote me a hate note. And, you know, it's funny that you remember that, and I remember that one. And, yeah, I went
right.
on, and I got over it, and I realized that, you know, before I knew it, there was somebody else, you know, there was somebody
so,
else.
Do we think that maybe when you're younger, you really don't get holes in the souls? I mean,
yeah,
you know.
I don't want to
And
that.
What do we do to fix it? I mean, is there a process? I mean, you know, I mean, I can tell you what, well, and I can't really tell you what I do. But, I mean, you know, it's what is the process for people that actually have something happen to them, like their emotional part, and it does do something to them? How do you restore? How do you get back to being complete, I guess is what I want to know.
Well, I mean, it's a journey. It's a long journey. I do feel maybe not with the examples that we've used. Those may not be, I mean, I guess they could be, but until we're probably in closer to high school, those probably aren't going to be severe enough to get through that barrier to our soul. Now, they certainly cause emotional pain, but, I mean, look at families that are very dysfunctional, that,
right.
you know, they may live with alcoholic or drug addict parents, different situations. And you talked about, I know that there's a lot of people that grew up and they would know just by the way their mother might fix breakfast or not fix breakfast, or by the way their dad would come through the door, they would know if it was going to be a good night or a bad night. And some of them had severe, you know, trauma during
yeah.
their childhood. And the other thing that I wanted to mention, too, is that we all have to realize that we're all products of not just our parents. We could have two wonderful parents. Their parents were not that way. You know, they say we can break the cycle, which I believe we can. But there's still going to be that overflow. You can't always, it's just like, it's spiritual genetics in the same way that, you know, how they say diabetes skips a generation. So if your
yeah.
grandmother had it, your mother probably won't, but you would be at risk. It's things like that. So the other thing that can cause holes in our soul or rips or tears or damage would be, it can be generational. It can be a generation of dysfunction or abuse or trauma or, I mean, there's so many things. Some of the most severe are ones where people don't validate feelings. You're not allowed to have feelings. You're supposed to pretend that everything's okay and you're not allowed to talk about it. Like, there's families that have lost a child, and the way the family would deal with that, I don't mean like a newborn baby, which doesn't matter to me anyways, a death is a death, but let's say they have a family of four children, and at 7 or 8 years old, the child drowns. This is just an example. And the way the parents, because of the way they were raised and because they don't have better skills, they deal with it by saying, no, you know, Johnny's dead. We don't talk about him. They take all the pictures down of him. And the children, the rest of the family, they're not allowed to bring it up. That
right.
type of scenario is probably more damaging than the actual original cause, which would be the death of that child or a parent. So now you ask, how do we fix that? Well, first of all, we have to identify the problem. And the first thing we have to do is we have to repair ourselves emotionally. We have to, and we start with that. And, you know, we've got two parts, so we will get into more of that, too, I'm sure, with the second part. But when we repair ourselves emotionally, what we have to do is acknowledge the pain, and we have to almost, you know, I'm not a big believer in going through every little thing and reliving everything. However, to some degree, we do have to acknowledge that our treatment or the accident or the fire or whatever the case may be, or the man that left us or the woman that left us. I mean, it could be a million and one, or the car accident. We survived, but our best friend didn't.
Right.
I mean, whatever the situation is, whatever caused the trauma, we have to be able to come to terms with it. Hiding from it, pretending that it didn't happen or that it didn't exist, that's just like leaving a wound unattended. It's going to fester, and it might not fester up for like what you said in the beginning. I mean, people can go 10 years, 15 years, 20 years even, and they think they're okay. I don't need to talk about it. I dealt with it, but really they haven't. And so eventually during these years that they're claiming they've dealt with it, what's really happened is it's crossed that barrier again, and it's been absorbed by our spiritual being, and it's caused, you know, damage to our spiritual self. And then that becomes, even more difficult to get into and repair because it's a higher level, and we have to, you know, like if you had a broken bone and cuts, first you have to get stitches, then the bone has to be set. So it's a process of, you know, kind of the most serious ones have to be taken care of first, and then you go through the process of healing. You're in a cast, and then maybe you're on a walker, and then maybe you're on a cane. It's like that. So spiritually, it's the same. So it's not that we have to sit and cry every night and relive and talk and necessarily just go down into a dark tunnel of how awful our life was, or that part of our life, or that incident, or people that had a violent crime committed against them. I mean, there's just many different things. I mean, imagine people that I listen to. I call them stories. I fall asleep a lot, but that's okay. But I listen to these tales from the web. I don't know if some of the listeners might be familiar with it, and it's called Reddit, and it's people. But I listen to people that narrate these stories, and they're supposedly, they always say if they're true, and they're just all different types of stories of things that happen to people, and a lot of them are like people that they're home alone, and someone breaks in, and they're, you know, I mean, they're just faced with, I mean, imagine how that would affect your life if, you know, here you are at home, you lock your doors, but you've never, you know, not just you personally, but the general you have never felt threatened, or it's not been a great concern that somebody's going to break in and attack you or murder you or rape or whatever the case may be. But imagine once that happens, imagine trying to reset your emotional and spiritual being back to the place that it was before all this occurred. I mean, you can imagine that's not an easy thing.
And don't you think, too, that when you're young, like in high, well, maybe later stages of high school, but like grade school and that, usually the things that happen, now I'm saying usually, won't affect you that much to give you that emotional scar unless it was something major. I think, I mean, it can happen, I suppose. Somebody could be, you know, somebody in the family could die, and it was not of natural causes and things like that. I think that would be really tough on the whole thing. Now, you know, we had an accident here in the summer, last summer, and one twin passed away and the other one didn't in an accident, and I can only imagine what that little girl goes through all the time. But she seems to have recovered, but probably not internally. You know what I'm saying, Maya? Sometimes you seem to be okay, but you're really not okay. Sometimes you can't even hide it. Sometimes all you have to do, if you're an empath like we are and me, you just look at them and you know something terrible has happened and they just don't want to talk about it. But sometimes these things just don't go away. You can talk to all the therapists you want, but you have to be the one that goes through the motions. And those wounds, you know, some of them we've had them for years and years and years, and maybe they help to reshape or shape what we will be later on in our life. I mean, I suppose that happens too, correct?
Yes, I would agree with that, sure, yeah. So you said, did you say twins, one of them died?
Yeah, she was in junior high.
See, that to me would be, that would probably be one of the most traumatic experiences, because twins have an extremely spiritual bond. I mean, that's just very, I would think that's very hard. I think things that happen to us, like a boy breaking up with us, that can bother us, and I think that can hurt us, but I don't think when we're that young, we're able to rebound unless we're undergoing systemic or, you know, systematic, I should say, you
right.
know, are ritualistic situations that, especially when you have families that are portraying themselves. And so, the other thing is you can look at your life and how you cope with your life and how you deal with other people in relationships. And that should enlighten you as to whether there is possibly more going on, that you possibly might consider that you do have some holes in your soul that need repairing. I mean, I don't believe that every hole, I think we can have some holes in our soul, and some of that is natural, just like the tarp. As long as it's still protecting whatever it's on from the rain and it's still in pretty good shape, there's not a big concern if there's no big tears or anything. So I think we can have some, and it's just part of life. That's what I believe to be true. But then it can get to a point where, it becomes where it's blocking, it's interfering, it's fracturing our lives. It can come out in many different emotions or ways, or even maybe there's no emotion. That can be a sign, but there's definitely signs, and if you take note or have those signs, like I would say, what you went through was so traumatic that it would be, to me, it would seem almost impossible that it would not have caused some.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You and I were kind of toying back and forth, but I think I probably have quite a few of them in my soul. But I think sometimes you can't really repair them, because that we don't even know what it would take to repair them. Mine was emotional. Mine was very traumatic. But I think I don't know if you can put a net over it, like a piece of cheesecloth, and so that it's there, but it's not there, or go sew it up. I think maybe don't you just end up with scars, Maya? That, and hopefully you don't have to relive that again. I don't know if you can really. I mean, if we could take a picture of our soul and see all the times that we were hit with something and we didn't even realize it, that something was so disturbing to us that it left its mark. And sometimes I think you don't even know until you are in a situation and then something triggers and you know. Oh, okay. Like even, families that are torn apart where, there isn't the mother and the father with a real nice, happy family, and mom and dad are really loving, and what happens to the little kids that they have? What do they do? Because you're looking through a window at them. You are looking at them. And you, when you're little, do you have the thoughts like, well, this isn't going to be very good? I can't even tell you what it's like, because my life was totally different. But I think some kids are like that, and they think, well, is this how my life is going to be now? Mom yells at me, dad yells at me, and they yell at each other. And some of that emotional stuff can be very scarring, I think. And there are certain ages that you start to reach, your intellect, things change, there's levels that change for you. So you have to be talked to when you're very young and explain. That's why I try to work with Jada as much, I shouldn't even say her name, but I try to work with my granddaughter as much as I can, because I can see what's going on. Yeah. And, you set yourself up. And, a lot of times, they'll compare it to astrology. Okay, Cancer sun sign is very, very emotional, very moody. They crawl under a rock and hide with all their problems. Oh, that would be typical. You have a lot of kids that, young people that have a Cancer sun sign or moon in Cancer or their ascendant in Cancer. That is typical, that they will brood a lot. They will not talk about what's wrong with them or what's going on. And if you really look at people, you can figure it out. Of course, I've studied astrology for a really long time, and it really makes sense. But that's just a comparison. I don't know if you can... I don't know. How do you fix some of that, Maya? the wounds that are there, even trauma, like this little girl that her sister was her twin. Does she really ever work through that and restore it? Is that possible?
Yeah.
My granddaughter says she's doing pretty good. Well, yeah, she's doing pretty good in school, but you can bet unless she's having proper, unless she has somebody that she's talking to, you know, because she can say to herself, why not me? Why did it happen to her? I mean, but everybody's temperament is different and their emotional set point is different. But I think things like that, I mean, those are deep wounds. And she might not even be aware of them, really, until she gets to be much older. Isn't that true? Like a relationship, that's it. When she gets into a relationship, now remember, this was her twin, and they have a connection. Okay, the one twin is not here anymore, so that's a loss for her. Now what happens when she gets to be a young woman, and she faces a loss because this boyfriend is, like, you know, not so nice, and he likes to see a lot of women, and she finds out, what is that going to do? That's another loss for her. So if she doesn't take care or she doesn't get the proper help, it's going to be tough for her to understand that, and I don't even know if she will ever be able to. That's, how do you work with somebody like that? How do you help them through that pain that they have? Because she's got holes in her soul. I'm sure of it. I mean, there's a lot of, everybody does. I think everybody's faced with that in their life. Nobody is without. Don't you agree, Maya?
Yes, absolutely. I don't think that any of us can escape that. And, you know, what we have to look at and how we determine whether or not it's something, you know, that can be just kind of left, you know,
right,
because we're all going to have some scars, is basically we look at the functionality of our life. And not just are we able to get up and go to work and, you know, can we be a partner to someone, but it goes much deeper than that. So to fix it, sometimes we can't actually go, we can't go back in time, so we can never replace, like, this little girl. She may seem fine at school, but
that's what,
you know,
I'm thinking.
What I would say is probably, I'm sure she has survivor's guilt. And I would say that when trauma happens, that's that traumatic and, you know, unexpected, that a couple of different things happen. One is people turn to alcohol and drugs to numb their feelings and their memories and thoughts because they don't have anybody to talk to. They don't have anybody to work through that. They aren't able to develop a strong self-definition. And that's how we, if you will, we repair our soul. We may not be able to repair that exact, you know, cut, because we can never forget. We can never unsee or unfeel or undo the past. So what we have to do is we have to learn to compensate and to become stronger and become, and you know, make sure that we are living a fulfilled life. And many people would say, oh, my life is happy and I'm very fulfilled and I'm doing great. But if you really had an inside view of that person in their life, you would see a side, or you would see a life that is devoid of any real pure joy, any real happiness, because either, you know, one thing is it would be turning to alcohol or drugs. The other
thing
is
they would do something else. If they didn't have help to repair or restore something, they would end up doing something else probably to make the pain go away, right? To forget about it. Now I'm thinking about her. I'm going to ask my granddaughter about her and see how she's doing, but that would be very, very traumatic. I think she's just a little bit older than my granddaughter. That really hit me. That really bothered me when it happened. But, you know, see, I'm such an emotional thing. I mean, I just, my feelings just go bonkers sometimes. I'm doing better the last few weeks. I've been really working with it, but, you know, I think that does help if you can find something that you really love, and you'll find it if you allow yourself to. And mine is riding my bike and listening to my music with my headphones. That's what gets me right out of it, just totally. But some people really, it does really destroy their life. I mean, they're very bitter when they get older and they don't trust anymore. And those are things that are inner, don't you think so, Maya? Something happened that, because we all start out the same way, but things happen to us that, you know, we don't even know that they're coming, and some people cannot deal with some of those things. And so I think, you know, talking about it really, really helps. And I was really looking forward to this topic because I feel a lot of people can resonate to it, and they don't even know it. Maybe they don't even know.
Right. They might be listening, and all of a sudden there'll
be a trigger. Yeah, that happened to me. Now I know why I feel like that. But there has to be a way, and maybe you can help, to tell them how that they can go about repairing or restoring something. I mean, nothing really huge, like, say, with this little girl. But there has to be ways that they can be able to work our way through it. Does it mean like you're talking to a really close friend, but you have to be choosy about that, because that close friend that you think is going to understand, they might not, because they've not had it happen to them. It's really tough, isn't it? I mean, I don't know. How do you fix that kind of stuff, even the smallest of trauma and pain that creates this hole in our soul, so to speak? What can we do, Maya? We'll probably talk about that next week a lot, I suppose, huh?
Yeah, I mean, we'll get more into it, but, you know, one thing is
talk about a hole, we don't mean an actual hole that you can put your hand in. I mean, it's something happens within, you know, that, and sometimes I think we don't even know that they're there until something happens again. Right?
Right, I agree.
That just came to me. We don't even know that it's there. Now, I'm understanding my life more because of my childhood, which I didn't know. I would never have guessed. But by listening to you, Maya, lovely Maya Moon, I've learned a lot this was why, and this is what you're doing now, and you did it again with your husband. It was just, it repeats itself. So you have to figure out a way to stop it in its tracks. You have to try to work with it well enough, and hopefully you'll find a way, and we'll help you to do that. I don't think you're going to uncover it. Sometimes you might be in your 40s, 50s, 60s. Who knows? There's no set rule when you're going to realize that you actually have some damage in your soul, something that happened and that you've kept in that soul for years and years and years, and then there'll be a trigger. And now, hopefully, if you listen to the show, you'll realize what it really is. I knew it, but I really, until tonight, I didn't really put it two and two together, even for myself, you know?
Right. Or a lot of times I will have clients come to me and they will be, I would say, between 30, 45, maybe even, and they will say that they don't understand their life. They don't know where they're going. I mean, they don't mean it like, should I be a doctor or a lawyer? They've got a career, and some of them even have a family and a partner that, as far as what they can tell, they love, but they feel that they're always looking like a fish in a fishbowl. It's like they're always watching the world. And so that's a huge clue that something is seriously wrong within your spirit or soul. And that is when you feel disconnected from yourself, and from the collective, the world, and something you just don't have the depth of feeling. And the most likely explanation is because whatever trauma you suffered, whether it was repeated trauma or one major event, you dealt with it. If you didn't, you know, there's different ways that we choose. Even sadly, some people will choose suicide, but most often people just will shut down and they will shut off their feelings because what they're, it's a form of self-protection. Unfortunately, it catches up with us and it's not healthy. So they're thinking, well, if I don't let myself feel, then I can't be hurt again, even though it might not make any sense. Like this little girl, she may turn out where she shuts down. And when someone cares about her, as she gets older and meets a life
partner, she's worried she's going to lose them. Right.
Yeah, because she'll sabotage it, and she won't even know why. And so a lot
That's
of times people, you know, they will, like you said, they will come years after something happened, and it never occurred to them because they generally, in those situations, either by the circumstances or by the way they were raised or because it was their only way of coping at that time because they didn't have support, they shut everything off. Well, what happens is when we shut our soul off, it can be very hard and very trying to find those handles again, because that's what we have to do, is we have to turn our soul back on, and that means we have to take a risk. We have to work at separating events or an event from ourself and our identity. And that is very difficult for humans to do because generally we end up defining ourselves by the events that have occurred or happened to us. And that we cannot do that and be able to heal the holes in our soul.
The more that I think about this little girl, the more it bothers me. And I think she was adopted. They were both adopted, as a matter of fact, so it makes it even worse. They were both adopted.
That makes me feel bad for her because people that are adopted, they can have, a lot of people can have amazing families and great relationships with their adoptive parents, but it's just our human nature. There's no way that we can get past, unless we're able to possibly meet like our birth mother and hear for themselves, and then sometimes we can get some healing and closure. But to know that we were abandoned, especially when we become parents, like you and I are parents, and I'm sure you feel the same as I do, although I can understand that many times, and it's too long of a story to tell now, but I had a situation come up. It was actually involving a dog, but it was one of those, it just enlightened and changed our life with this person. But, you know, I mean, it can bring closure sometimes, and sometimes the birth mother is doing it out of love. They're not doing it because they don't want the child, or they're like, oh, I don't care about that. I don't want that baby. They're doing it because whatever their circumstances is, whatever their upbringing and their past and their baggage, whatever you want to call it, and maybe their soul is so tattered and full of holes that they know that they would never be able to provide the love and support and guidance that a child needs. So what they're doing, they're doing for love. They're not doing it, you know, but until we talk to that person, once we find that out, and when we're little, you know, parents that say, oh, you know, I picked you, you were special. I don't think kids really start to relate until they're maybe 10, 12, 13 years old. And then they start to realize, hey, wait a minute, even though these, you know, this family picked me and they may be, like I said, a wonderful, amazing, close family and they have a great life, that doesn't take away from the fact that someone else didn't want them. So I know it's getting close, so I'll let you finish up, but yeah, next week
we'll definitely, you know, it's about 8:55, we'll definitely continue this next week, but I forgot all about her. Isn't that strange? And see, all of a sudden I remembered because we were talking about the loss. And I don't know. I hope she's getting this necessary help, but I have this feeling she's not. But I'm going to ask my granddaughter about her and see how she's doing. She has a sister, an older sister. I think that one was adopted too. I don't know. That's what I recall. But I know the twins were. But yeah, and see, you know, like we said, maybe down the road when she gets to be older, she won't allow people to get close to her because she'll be afraid that she's going to lose them. Isn't that a horrible feeling?
Well, it is. Yeah, I mean that.
I mean because, so really, she has to be talked to. She has to have an understanding and figure out a way, and I certainly wouldn't want that on my shoulders. I don't even know how you would work with her to bring her to trust. It would be very hard for her to trust in anything, in a job, no matter what. It's going to affect her whole life. So she's going to, hopefully down the road, and if God is listening to my little talk here, whoever you believe in that you pray to, I'm hoping that she finds somebody, a really good girlfriend or a friend's mother. See, it's almost like she didn't come from a normal childhood because she really didn't because she was adopted. So right from the get-go, and now she's going through this, I'm hoping that she has somebody that can take her by the hand and help her through and be there when she falls. Because it's going to be tough on, I can feel it. I just know it's going to be really hard on her. And she'll keep all of the love that she has inside that beautiful body of hers and that soul. She's going to be afraid to give it out. And so I'm going to be on a mission. I got to find out about her. Not that I would take it on, but I'll ask my granddaughter how she's doing. I won't tell her why, but because my granddaughter is, you know, just 12 and, it's like for her, you know, I want to take her by the hand and sit her in the room with me and say, you have to tell me how you're feeling. Something is really causing you to go within. Maybe you can't tell. And she'll say things to me that she won't tell her mom and dad. Or tell a friend, tell somebody, you know what I'm saying? But she has me who's super spiritual. And, you know, she's everything to me. And I'm, you know, that's another thing. I don't get to see her as often. But when I do see her sometimes, you can see she's pulled right back in, you know, just like a turtle pulled back in their shell. Oh, I guess they're telling me 90 seconds. So with that, I'm going to say goodbye, and everybody have a great week, and come back and join us for the second part of this, and we'll go into more stuff. And Maya, you can say your good night right now.
Yes, good night, everyone. And we're so glad to have you, and look forward to you joining us next week.
Yes, and don't forget to go to starspsychics.com, S-C-A-R-Z, like in zebra, and choose from Maya Moon and Candy Rant, Stars Priestess Candy Ranson, and I have so many that are beautiful souls. And with that, I will say good night, and we'll see everybody next week, same time. Bye-bye.